There's an ancient saying which goes, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and it's becoming more and more obvious that China pretty much wants to play all roles in that saying when it comes to at least relations with America economically. China loves American money, now more than ever, as their economy has experienced a significant slowdown. Militarily, China is looking to Russia for, well, that's where some of the debates has been churning recently, especially after the summit held with Russia's President Putin and China's President Xi. What did their meeting reveal? What did it foretell? Joining us with his analysis is a retired U.S. Marine colonel. He served for decades in the Indo-Pacific region in intelligence liaison positions. He's the author of the book, When China Attacks, A Warning to America. Colonel Grant Newsham, how are you today, Colonel?
Well, fine, thanks. Glad to be here.
And you can follow Colonel Newsham on Twitter at, we'll reverse his name, Newsham Grant. And we'd like to put a link up to his Twitter feed on our homepage as well. So I know going into this summit between Xi and Putin, the presented premise was looking for peace in the Ukraine. They had a formal signing of some sort of document, which people even question if there's blank pieces of paper in the thing. What was the purpose of this? Because you have Russia isolated. You have a country like China, which was trying to work out of isolationism and is, as a novice, they're looking to align with someone going the other way.
Yes, there'll be plenty of people on our side who like to see Xi Jinping from China as a peacemaker. And that by going to Moscow, he was showing that he was trying to give peace a chance in Ukraine. That's wrong. Xi Jinping has been supporting Vladimir Putin and Russia from the very beginning of the Ukraine war, the Ukraine invasion by Russia, and before that, actually. And that has not stopped. This was at most a charade. What it was Xi Jinping providing huge political cover for the Russians. And note that he went after, just days after, the International Criminal Court had indicted Putin for effectively war crimes, crimes against humanity. This is really a sign by Russia that they, Russia and China, that they are together. And you were seeing more of this, an alignment of dictatorships like Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, sort of all coming together. And the idea is to bring down the main enemy, which is the United States. So there's nothing good to come out of this as well. Russian and China don't like each other at a very fundamental historic level. But for now, their strategic interests align, and that is all directed against the United States.
Mentioned isolationism. Has that and sanctions, along with just the natural flow of economic events in China, has that led these two countries to come together? Because when you look at economics, which, like it or not, is going to be the driving force in most everything that we see between countries, it seems like Russia needs money, China has money, China can be the only significant customer for Russia's energy output, and given that position, China could pretty much make their own price and make their own deal, and Russia is up against the wall. It's pretty obvious to even the novice.
That's right, that the Chinese are increasingly sort of strengthening their hold over Russia. They've got the advantage. You can see that just in the body language, but also the facts which you've just described. Russia wants to sell oil or a lot of it. China's a very good customer, and Russia needs the money more than China needs the oil. Chinese have also provided financial support for Russia from the start of the war, and they're also providing weapons. There's a certain amount has been admitted to by sort of our side, but there's been more going on. But it's worth noting that this Russia-China alignment started before the Ukraine war. For example, Russian and Chinese forces have been doing exercises in Northeast Asia, even in Europe near Russia for a number of years now. So this is not just the cause of the Ukraine war. Perhaps this has sort of improved China's position towards Russia, but that Russia-China alignment, these like-minded dictatorships, that has been going on for a number of years now.
It is no secret that, albeit extremely patient, China has its eyes set on Taiwan. Where does Russia come into that picture as an assistant, as a supplier, as a hindrance, maybe?
It won't be a hindrance, but it will be the former. When China goes after Taiwan, if it has to attack, and China doesn't just give up, excuse me, and Taiwan doesn't give up, just give up. But if China has to attack, they expect Russia to return the favor. They've actually said that. At the beginning of the Ukraine invasion, Chinese diplomats or commentators were said, actually, well, we were, and propagandists were told, well, we were told not to criticize Russia because when the time comes to settle the Taiwan issue once and for all, we expect Russia to return the favor. Additionally, should China go after Taiwan militarily, all it takes Russia to do is to make a move, just even a threat towards Western Europe, and that will distract an awful lot of American and Western attention and capability from Taiwan. Additionally, if China attacks Taiwan, there's going to be huge economic sanctions put on China. Well, Russia's going to be glad to provide all the oil that that China needs. So it's very much a supportive relationship in the event of a Taiwan contingency or Taiwan fight. And the Russians are glad to do it.
Colonel Grant Newsham, author of the book, When China Attacks, A Warning to America. You can follow the colonel at Newsham Grant. We've linked put a link up on our homepage for Colonel's Twitter account. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. So let's turn things over to the American side as right now watching, hopefully very closely, what's been happening, analyzing, hopefully very accurately, what's been happening. What are some of the first steps you would be looking for based on your experience that would say, all right, this is going up to another level now?
What I would look for, if you're just talking about Taiwan, is watch for the Taiwan presidential election that is coming up in early January. That's very important. There's one party that's running, and their candidate is pretty much going to be pro-China. He won't be so opposed to Taiwan getting absorbed into the communist Chinese mainland. He's from the KMT party. There will be a candidate from the other party, which wants nothing to do with mainland China or being dominated by and controlled by mainland China. That's the DPP. So watch that. And if the pro-China candidate wins, I think China just might back off a bit and see if they can continue subverting Taiwan and bringing it into the fold. But if the DPP, the candidate that wants Taiwan to be free of China, if they win, at that point, I think the gloves are off, and I think we will see sort of a so-called kinetic move, and that's the word they use these days to refer to shooting. I think China would assault Taiwan, and I think they have the capability to do it and perhaps just succeed. And so that's what I would look for immediately. But the Chinese have the ability to conduct such an assault. Some analysts say that, many analysts say that they don't. It's just too complicated, complex. They couldn't figure it out at all. It's always a few years in the future, sometimes more. And we tend to, so we shouldn't look at an invasion or an attack on Taiwan the way we would, say, D-Day in World War II. With the Chinese bringing together their ships, their aircraft, and bringing all sorts of people to the coast. They're probably not going to do it that way for one reason. They've got a lot of the hardware already in place. Additionally, they will probably bring people from other places suddenly together and make their move. Additionally, with sort of long-range missiles, cyber attacks, the ability to electronically isolate Taiwan, that they don't need to do it the way they used to. And so the Americans may be expecting to get a lot more notice than they're actually going to get. I heard one retired Navy admiral say 30 days. That could be. They could get even less. And the tactical surprise could be zero. We have to really be careful. But the important thing is to build up our own defenses, our own ability to, if necessary, sink the Chinese Navy in a couple afternoons and to make Taiwan a tough nut to crack. And that means providing them economic support, political support, and having our friends do it as well.
In your book, When China Attacks, Warning to America, you help the everyday person understand why this is something to pay attention to. And when someone of an authority in a position of knowledge talks with facts, why we should care. From you help everyone realize that this is not something new, what China has been up to, especially concerning the U.S. And you also present positive aspects, too, as, for example, one of the strengths of America being economics. We were part of a great deal to blame for the economic growth of China. It's also within our grasp to diffuse our growth in that strength, is it not?
Oh, it really is. It's, you know, we're old enough to remember the days before we had this overwhelming dependency on China and shipped so much of our business or jobs or manufacturing over to China. We were a pretty good country then. The world was pretty good. We are pretty adaptable people, and we could very quickly get back sort of our economic strength if we wanted to. Everything that's happened that we've done for China in the last 30 years was self-inflicted. We didn't have to do it. And the real secret is just stop doing it. We do have to stop funding China. And that's a key part of all of this, is that the dollars that Wall Street and our business class pour into China effectively fund the Chinese economy and the Chinese military, which are pretty much the same thing, the way the Chinese see it. The Chinese currency is not freely convertible, which is a way of saying they can't buy anything overseas with it. So they have to have those dollars. If you reduce the flow of dollars, then they have some difficult choices to make, either provide flush toilets for the 500 million people in your country that don't have them, or build up a powerful military. So America, we've really got a good hand to play if we just choose to play it. You'll notice that China doesn't have an illegal immigration problem or an immigration problem at all. Nobody wants to go. In fact, Chinese people want out of China, or else to move their wealth and ideally get an family member overseas with a green card. And that tells you that America has a fundamental strength and attraction that people want. And it'd be nice if we remembered that, and also remember that we know we ought to sell that. You know, America invented public relations. You think we could at least be able to sell what we have. And it takes very little selling, but you do have to make that effort.
It is an ongoing story that's long been in motion when it comes to China. And what Colonel Newsham does with When China Attacks, A Warning to America, it helps you catch up to the mechanics of the story and looks forward to what possibly could happen. That's not going to be positive, but as you just heard him refer to, the options that exist that can diffuse the dangers created when two countries who are on the downside join forces together. Yeah, you would think nothing good can come of that for the outside of that duo, but well, it could just be different if the countries led by America respond with the smart ideas and a focus plan to diffuse a powder keg that is developing between China and Russia. When China Attacks, A Warning to America, you follow Colonel Newsham on Twitter, at Newsham Grant. Colonel Grant Newsham, thank you for the awareness and the appreciation for this story and these elements that you bring to our attention with a very understandable, absorbable way. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.